This morning, we would like to continue to follow the Apostle Paul as he goes out on his first apostolic journey. And as we follow him on this journey, we are going to witness some very interesting developments. And this morning, we are going to seek to answer three questions. The first one will be, what was Paul preaching? Was he preaching the grace of God, or was he still ministering the law of Moses? Then secondly, we will answer the question, what do we mean by the Jew first? Why is it that the apostle, when he went to different cities, went into synagogues and preached to the Jews first, and then afterwards addressed the Gentiles at other times? Then thirdly, how were the Gentiles to be saved? And of course, they were saved differently, the procedure of how they were saved, from prophecy and dream. So these are three very important questions that are brought before us here in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, and we want to search out the answers to these things as we rely on the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, here in Acts chapter 13 and verse 14, we read these words, "But then they departed from Perga, came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." We had started out on Paul's apostolic journey in Antioch in Syria, and he begins to make the swing through the various cities that God has instructed him to go. Now, on the course of this journey, he comes to Antioch in Pisidia. And you have to remember that Antioch in Syria and Antioch in Pisidia are two different cities in two different locations. And as Paul comes into this city, he goes to the synagogue. Now, the question that would be raised in our mind concerning this is, why did the Apostle Paul go to the synagogue of the Jews whenever he went from city to city? Well, to me, it's very obvious. Wouldn't it be natural to go where God's people were found and where those that feared God, who possibly didn't even know him yet, would go to try to learn more about him? We have to be very careful that we don't anticipate revelation and picture in our mind that there are numerous assemblies all over the world at this time of the Gentiles. That simply wasn't the case. There weren't churches in towns and cities and villages like we have today that a grace pastor could go from one place to another and be invited into a ministry such as this to preach the Word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul is being raised up, you see, to establish works in these different areas for the grace of God, that there might be a testimony of grace throughout the known world of that day. But as he launches out here, yet very early in his ministry, we have to remember there are not many Gentile churches that have been established at this time. So it would be natural for him to go where the Word of God was found and there proclaim the message that God had laid upon his heart. So he goes into the synagogue, and Paul knew, now this is interesting, Paul knew what the custom of the Jews was. And that was that any time there was a teacher among them, that it was only proper etiquette to call on that teacher and ask him to come and speak a word unto the assembly. And so as Paul went from synagogue to synagogue, he knew at the first especially that he would be given a hearing, and it would be an excellent opportunity to reach the Jew for the gospel of the grace of God, and also the Gentiles, who were those that feared God, who came in to learn more about the Lord and be possibly even under conviction and want to be saved. And that's exactly what happens here in verse 15. The ruler of the synagogue states, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." And like any good preacher, given an opportunity like this, he wants to stand up and speak what the Lord has laid upon his heart. And notice, as we read verse 16, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." So there were Jews in that synagogue, but also there were Gentiles. And they are brought to our attention by the phrase, "ye that fear God." That is a reference to the Gentiles who had come among the Jews in the synagogue, and they wanted to hear the word of God proclaimed. And so Paul beckons with his hands, and he begins to deliver a message from the Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had at that time. And he reviews the history of God's chosen nation. Now, it's very interesting, as you read this sermon, you won't take the time to do that or go through it point by point. You can do that later. But the general theme of Paul's message in that synagogue is this: that Israel has been unfaithful to her God. And God went to her time and time again and was long-suffering to his chosen nation and had displayed his mercy upon them time and time again. But Israel continually was unfaithful to the Lord. And Paul points out the many promises that God had given to her, and the promise of the Messiah, and how he would die and be raised again the third day. And as Paul comes to the conclusion of his message in verse 38, he presents something to his audience that was totally unexpected to them. In verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, or that though this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye cannot be justified by the law of Moses." Now, as we come to the end of his address, it's important to begin to see what Paul was preaching back at that time in his early ministry. Was he still ministering the law and the gospel of the kingdom, or was he preaching the gospel of the grace of God that contained justification by faith? And here, as he preaches Christ to them, in verse 39, he brings it around to show to them that now they are going to be justified by Christ and through the means of faith. So no longer is it the righteousness of the law, but now Paul points to the righteousness of Christ, and that they can be justified from all things by faith. Now, from this point to the end of the book of Acts, the Jew had a very difficult time with that, that there was a change that was taking place. Now, hold your place here, and let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Here Paul makes mention of that change. Here in Romans 10:1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." And verse 3 is the key. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So here the apostle makes it very plain in Romans chapter 10 that there is a change or a movement from the law to the righteousness of God. And those that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will now receive the righteousness of Christ and be justified or declared eternally righteous on the basis of Christ's finished work. Now, as we go back to Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, it becomes very plain what the Apostle Paul was teaching. He was not ministering the law. As a matter of fact, he says something here contrary to the law, that now they're going to be saved through Christ, and they need to look to Him as their personal Savior to be justified from all things. And notice down in verse 43, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in what? In the grace of God." So here we can see a further development in the gospel of the grace of God that Paul is preaching, justification by faith, and that is referred to as not law, but now as the grace of God. Now that brings us to our second question that we want to answer, and that is, why did Paul go to the Jew first? You know, this has been so troubling to many as they've come to the book of Acts, that if Paul was sent to the Gentiles, why is he all going to the Jew? And he seems to go back to the Jew time and time again. Well, I do believe it was in accordance with the plans and purposes of God. But we have to realize that Paul was going to the Jew first very differently than how Peter and other apostles had gone or addressed the Jews. Now, in verse 46, we read, as we read on in the text, that Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." So as Paul had delivered his message in the synagogue there at Antioch in Pisidia, they sat and they were intent and they listened and they followed through, and after Paul had completed preaching Christ to them and him crucified and how they could be justified by faith, there was not a favorable reaction by the Jew. As a matter of fact, his own countrymen had rejected it and had gone out of the synagogue furious. And it was the Gentiles and just a small number of Jews who came and spoke to the apostle and to Barnabas and said, "We want these things proclaimed unto us again the next Sabbath." And so when Paul agreed, then the multitude of the Jews were infuriated and they were envious and they sought to contradict the apostle Paul and blaspheme him. And when that took place, Paul was emboldened and he says to the multitude of the Jews that the word of God was to be spoken to you first, but now that you put it from you, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So Paul here speaks about to the Jew first, and in Romans chapter 1, he shares how the gospel had gone to the Jew and then to the Greek. But we want to understand this morning exactly what God means by that. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3 now. Acts 3, 25. Here, Peter, addressing the nation of Israel in the early chapters of Acts, he says, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." So here, Peter makes it very plain as he addresses his own brethren on the day of Pentecost, and shortly after, he refers that the word of God and salvation was to be preached to you first. So here on our board, we are on our left side under the kingdom. Peter is the chief actor, and he is preaching the kingdom gospel. And as he preaches the kingdom gospel, he was instructed by the Lord to go first to the house of Israel, because that was the order of prophecy, that they were to go to Israel first, and the nation had to be converted to the Messiah. And also, Israel at this time was in a favored position. Why, the reason the gospel of the kingdom goes to her first is because who she was. She was the exalted nation of God. God had sent the prophets and the word of God through her. So because in prophecy and in the kingdom gospel, she had such a place of preeminence, she must first hear about the Messiah and be given the first opportunity to be saved, because that was God's chosen nation. So at that time in the Old Testament, in prophecy, did the Jew have an advantage? Indeed, the Jew did have an advantage. Let's look at Romans chapter 3 a moment. Romans 3, verse 1. Paul says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." So they were God's peculiar people in the Old Testament. And Paul said they had a great advantage, and it gave them the opportunity to first hear and to be the first to respond and be saved. Now, we might even give the illustration concerning the Christian home and the unsaved home. And in the Christian home, there the Bible is read and the great hymns of the faith are sung, and there is a consistent testimony. In unsaved home, it is involved in the various affairs of the world and in the pleasures of the world. Now, in which home, when our children are being brought up, would have the advantage to hear and be saved, would you think? The Christian home, that's right. And so as you apply that truth back to prophecy and back to our Old Testament, it was the Jew who had the Word of God, and their children were under the Word of God, and so they first had the advantage. Now then, with that in mind, as we go back here now to Acts chapter 13, when God set his chosen nation aside and put them aside in unbelief, then he raises up Paul, makes him an apostle, and he now is going to send Paul to the world with the gospel of the grace of God. But the plans and the purpose of God are this, that he announces that to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So when Paul goes to the Jew first, it's in a completely different sense than how Peter went to the Jew first. As we come to the body of Christ, and the Apostle Paul now, the chief actor, Paul is proclaiming from the very beginning the gospel of the grace of God. And because Israel was rejected nationally, he announces to her first that God has set you aside, and now you can be saved according to the riches of his grace. Peter was going to the Jew first nationally. Paul is going to the Jew first individually. As he goes from town to town and city to city, he is announcing in these individual synagogues that God has set Israel aside nationally, and he's seeking to reach the individual Jews that now they can be saved by the gospel of the grace of God. And so it is very, very important for us to realize that Paul was going to the Jew in a completely different sense. Now let me try to give you an illustration to see if we can help your understanding here. Let's say that you and I have been having a business transaction and an agreement for many, many years. Let's say for 25 years, I've been selling my products to you, and we've had a good business relationship through those years. But then someone else approaches me, and they say that they have such a need, and they're going to give me double the volume of business. And so I have a very important decision to make, and I make the decision to go with this other party that is going to give me more business, and it's going to be more of a substantial account. Now, in proper business ethics, what's the next right thing to do? What would be the obvious? What would be the right thing to do? That's right. Wouldn't it be just proper ethics to tell the first party that I am removing my business from them and I am going to pick up with someone else? So it would only be right and proper for me to inform them of that because I've dealt with them for so many years. And that the same thing you have here in Paul's ministry. Can't you see what God is doing? He dealt with Israel for 1,500 years. Why, that was his chosen people. And whenever he determined to turn away from them and turn to the Gentiles, it was only right of God. If we see that's only right in business practices, how much more in spiritual matters and with a God who is righteous? It would only be right for him and proper to inform Israel what he was doing, that he was turning from them and turning to the Gentiles, and also reveal to them that if you want to be saved, you can be saved individually over here under the gospel of the grace of God. And so you need to realize that when we talk about going to the Jew first, under Peter, it was because they were the prominent nation. Under Paul, it was because they were being set aside, and God is revealing to them what his will is, that they won't be left in the dark. Now, that raises another question, and that is here in verse 46, that as Paul gives a pronouncement on Israel, he says, since you won't receive it, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And this is the first of three pronouncements on Israel as we shift from the Jewish nation to the Gentiles. Now, this is our third question, And brings us to our third question we'd like to answer. How were the Gentiles to be saved? And if you've studied the scriptures at any length, you know that the Gentiles in prophecy were to be saved differently, as far as for sure, than how they're saved today under the mystery program. Now, on our board up here, I tried to outline this a little bit for you to make it as clear and plain as possible. Under the kingdom gospel, the Gentiles were saved through Israel. So the nation of Israel had to come to her Messiah, and through the rise of Israel, then she would shine the light to all the Gentile nations, and they would be saved. Now let me pause here and say this. So many times we as grace believers talk about the Gentiles that are saved today, almost to the point of exclusion that they were going to be saved prophecy. You must come to an understanding that in prophecy, God had made a provision for the Gentiles. It's just that they were going to be saved differently than how they're saved today. Let's turn in our Bibles back to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49, put over here on the page, and let's drop down to verse 6. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Israel," or of Jacob, "and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth." So there you can see the procedure in prophecy. Now there's the words of the prophet under the direction of the Holy Spirit on the matter of how the Gentiles were to be saved. You have the Gentiles out here, but you must first have the nation of Israel converted. And once she believes God and comes to her Messiah, as she comes to a knowledge of God's Word and is raised, then she will shine light down on the Gentile nations that they, in return, can be saved. So, as you follow it through, the Gentiles were saved through Israel, and will enjoy the kingdom blessings. Also, a part of their salvation was they were placed under the law and they had to be circumcised and become a part of that chosen nation. So really what they were doing were submitting themselves to the Jews' religion. Technically, they were becoming a Jew or a part of the mechanism of that nation and submitted to the law and the sacrifices, and especially to circumcision. If a Gentile was not circumcised, he wasn't saved under the law, because that's what the law said and prescribed. Now, when we come to the mystery program, the Gentiles now can be saved as well, but they're saved completely in a different manner. And here, today, the Gentiles are saved in spite of Israel. Now, let's go back to Acts 13, because here it's as plain as day. Acts 13:46. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you.'" But what did they do? What did the Jews do? They put it from them, and they judged themselves worthy of everlasting life, and lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now let me ask you a question. From that verse right there, would you say that the Gentiles are being saved through Israel? Or is Israel being circumvented and the Gentiles saved apart from Israel? What would you say? That's right. Apart. Now that's what the verse says. And that's what the gospel of the grace of God teaches. That's one of the great tenets of Paul's message that he proclaimed, that the Gentiles today can be saved apart from the nation of Israel and apart from circumcision. And so today the Gentiles are saved in spite of Israel, and God is circumventing her and the nation, and he's saving Gentiles by his grace and putting them right in to the body of Christ. And that's exactly what verse 46 teaches, that Gentiles are now being saved apart from Israel. Now, also they're being saved apart from circumcision. Let's go over to Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. Acts 15 and verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So as Paul went forth with this gospel of grace, and the Gentiles were saved apart from circumcision, but here they came in contact with the Jew, and what did the Jew tell them? You can't be saved apart from circumcision. Why, the law prescribed that the Gentile had to be circumcised to be saved too, along with the Jew. And Paul was furious concerning this, that the Jews were trying to impose circumcision on his Gentiles. And that's how the Jerusalem conference came to be, to settle the matter. The main question of the Jerusalem conference was this: do the Gentiles have to be circumcised to be saved? And what was the conclusion? Who can tell me? No. It was agreed by the church in Jerusalem and by Paul, who represented the body of Christ, that the Gentiles do not have to be circumcised to be saved. And you know what that does? That points us again to the mystery program and the gospel of the grace of God. And so here it is, oh, very, very important for you to distinguish in the procedure of how the Gentiles were going to be saved. So the book of Acts is fascinating, and if you study it very closely, it opens up and develops more and more that God in his grace is turning to the Gentiles and leaving the nation in the background that he had worked with for 1,500 years. All right, we'll stop there, and we hope that's answered those three questions.